Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We begin hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. Appreciate in studio, if you were watching on Twitch, then you got to watch me and Carlos Medina talk draft. And we have a few visits every year from Carlos Medina. He was the producer of the program for a few years, and then he moved on to bigger and better things, literally across the hall. All right, different company, across the hall, they got him. So Carlos, he pops over, though. We have him over draft sometimes during the fall, and so always appreciate his visits. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com. That's his. And we will be talking with Pete coming up, again, about 10 minutes from right now. Bottom of the hour, Zach Blobner, WDAE, down in Tampa, talking Gators. That is in about 25 minutes, but right now I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline: SEC sets draft record, 65 players selected. Southeastern Conference, out of the 259 players that were picked, 65 of them came from the SEC. If you slice those 65 into different groups, 6 of the first 10, 12 of the 32 first-rounders, the highest tight end ever selected, ever. So the SEC has set a new record. The previous mark of 64 was also held by the SEC. The 2 years that a conference had 63 players drafted, both of those years were the Southeastern Conference as well. So the four highest single draft totals for a conference, all four of them are the Southeastern Conference, if you care. The next closest conference, the ACC, had 51 players. So if Alabama didn't have anybody selected, the SEC still would have had the most players picked. Alabama's got 51 players selected over the past five drafts. I've said, and in particular, if you're an offensive lineman, you know what I'd have said to a wide receiver about 10 years ago? Why are you going to Alabama? They're going to run the ball a lot. Oh, Julio. Oh, Amare. Oh, Calvin. And they found a way to get one guy into the pros. They found a way to get like two or three guys into the pros. Ruggs and Judy. And I mean, it's an overflow of talent, man. 51 players. So I've said specifically, though, not even wide receiver, folks. 10 years ago, I said, wide receiver, why are you going to Alabama? Offensive lineman? I've said the opposite. If it is a committable offer, If it isn't, and have your mom or dad ask Coach Saban directly. If you're an offensive lineman and you get a legitimate, committable offer to Alabama, I don't know why you don't take it. Maybe you're homesick, or maybe your girlfriend's going to Texas Tech, or maybe whatever. Maybe you don't like Alabama. Maybe you grew up an Auburn fan. I don't know. If you're an offensive lineman and you can go there, go there. Just a tremendous job. Headline: former Ohio State wide receiver transferring to Alabama, Jameson Williams. announced earlier today he is transferring to Alabama. He's a junior. He's going to be immediately eligible to play. He's got the waiver like everybody. He's a former four-star prospect. Played in every game for the Buckeyes over the last two seasons, including national championship game loss. He has caught some passes. We mentioned this the other day, but I wanted to give the details. Well, actually, I brought this up on Friday. Headline: Florida state lawmakers reinstate July as start to name, image, likeness. There was one state senator from Florida who at the end of the session on Wednesday threw in a and delay name, image, didn't have anything to do with name, image, likeness, an education bill, largely unrelated. At the end of the bill, threw in, oh yeah, and name, image, likeness will be delayed for a year. Huh? What? Mike Norvell lost his mind. Dan Mullen, Manny Diaz, everybody lost their collective minds. He said, I am worried that if we pass this and state university scholarship athletes start collecting money from name, image, likeness in July like currently they can, that the NCAA is actually not going to have their rules passed and all of our teams and players will get in trouble. So that was the motivation for it. Well, it got taken out. Conversation with Mark Emmert. There were assurances, nothing in writing. So Florida is back to July, and they are a leader. There are five states that this summer, name, image, likeness. Am I correct? Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama are four of them. Is the fifth one a southern state, too, that I'm doing? Louisiana? I don't know. South Carolina, Tennessee? Recruiting advantage. Deep South. Consider yourself up to date. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and just talk with one of my best friends, a guy that I just absolutely love every time we have on from College Football News. It's Pete Futak.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Nine states, 51 sticks. We deal it out 2 hours a day. I appreciate y'all joining us for our college football talk every day. There were 48 hours last week where it's now being called by Florida lawmakers a glitch, where the state of Florida was not among the states whose name, image, likeness legislation will take effect this summer, this July. After the 48-hour glitch, Florida's back in the club. There are four states already passed name, image, likeness laws, and they will be effective this July. Four states: Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, New Mexico. There are three states that have passed bills, and they're waiting the governor's signature: Georgia, South Carolina, Maryland. We see a pattern here. I'm telling you, folks, it's what you choose to be great at, or at least the greatness that you choose to pursue. And so if you've got state legislatures in the deep South, they're saying, yeah, we care about college football recruiting, name, image, likeness. Oh yeah. College baseball and hoops and all that, but mostly college football. Want to welcome on now, good friend of mine. He is collegefootballnews.com. Pete Futak. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine getting over the draft from this last weekend and ready to dive into college football full force again. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I'll ask you some draft questions. We'll start with that, actually. Mac Jones, did you ever buy it, the Mac Jones at 3 to the Niners?
Yeah, I kind of, you never know when it comes to these teams and what they actually believe, but he's very safe. He's very ready. There really was no necessarily wrong answer. I mean, we're talking about prospects. I like Trey Lance better. I like him as a, you know, bigger shot for the stars for 3 years from now as opposed to maybe right now. But yeah, you know, that you could have shuffled it at all. You know, I still don't quite get why Zach Wilson was the absolute sure thing, you know, locked in number two guy through this whole process compared to the other prospects. I mean, obviously Trevor Lawrence is one, no question. But I think there should have been some more debate, and I think that nobody really talked about it and kind of accepted, oh well, Zach Wilson's two, because everybody had that for a few months. But there could be a debate about any of those four main guys. And I'll even throw in Davis Mills in there, even though he was never going to go that high in terms of the top quarterbacks. But Mac Jones, obviously very good, and he seems very happy to be a New England Patriot right now.
Georgia, I was mentioning this a little earlier in the show, off the heels of the Alabama, with 10 players selected. I was like, well, Georgia had nine. And I'm looking at him, Pete, and there are guys from the 16, 17, and 18 recruiting classes. The kids from the 16 and 17 classes, on their resume, they have an SEC championship, and then they played for a title. The kids in the 18 class don't have anything. They didn't win anything of note on their resume. And I guess what I'm asking, shouldn't it be more in Athens right now? If this is what you're doing, shouldn't it be more?
Absolutely. And that's when we talk about the preseason stuff. And, you know, if, you know, for anybody who doesn't even follow college football and you're like, okay, you know, who are the four best teams going into the season? It's like, okay, well, it's Alabama, it's Ohio State, it's Clemson, and probably Oklahoma. It's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. But in terms of recruiting, like you just mentioned, Georgia needs to be kind of the knee-jerk reaction of who are the four best teams in the country. It's Georgia based on talent. There really hasn't been any excuse. And so you can say, even looking at this draft, what's been the one thing that's missing? Kirby Smart hasn't been able to kind of nail the quarterback thing. I mean, Jake Fromm was a very good quarterback. Obviously, he wasn't Justin Fields. You know, obviously he kind of, I mean, obviously other extenuating circumstances with that, but he kind of got that call wrong, as good as Fromm was and as close as he was to winning a national title. You know, whereas, you know, Clemson had Trevor Lawrence. Ohio State had Dwayne Haskins when he was good, and then Justin Fields. And Oklahoma's had a slew of Heisman guys. And so it's, he never quite got that right yet. Now he's got the guy. Now he's got JT Daniels to go along with all of that. And that was even a kind of a misfire call to go with Stetson Bennett early on last year. So if they get the quarterback play right, maybe all the other talent kicks in.
I have seen as many as eight quarterbacks in various look-ahead mock drafts for 2022, eight in the first round, including Malik Willis.
Yeah.
And I started the show, I was like, I didn't even realize Malik Willis still had his eligibility. So go through, like, the quarterback, Spence Rattler, Sam Howell, JT Daniels. You handicap next year's first round. Give me a name or two.
None of them. I look, I've seen this. I don't get it. I think people throw that out there because they're not doing their due diligence. None of them compared to this year's class. I mean, Sam Howell's good. I mean, Sam Howell's fine. The guy who actually is the one who could be in that mix to be as good as the five quarterbacks here. And again, I'm throwing Davis Mills in there. I think give him time, and that dude's got the potential to be a star for Houston. Tyler Shuck, who's now at Texas Tech, the Oregon quarterback transferred. That's the guy who's got the NFL stuff, where he can put up big numbers, and all of a sudden the hype around him is huge, and the juice is there, and he becomes that number one pick. Every year there's always a guy, whether it was Zach Wilson this year, Joe Burrow 2 years ago. I mean, remember, if Joe Burrow, if they didn't play that year, would not have been that superstar number one overall pick. So there's always the guy who comes out of left field. But Malik Willis, JT Daniels, okay, he's fine.
Spence Rattler?
Obvious here. Yeah, I don't quite, I know the problem with Spencer Rattler is he's an Oklahoma quarterback, and he's going to jump up fast in terms of the production. I think he's going to go from 0 to 60 this year and turn into the next big guy. But he's not Patrick Mahomes, which is what he's kind of billed to be from the start. So they're all good, but I thought this year was the year to get that quarterback. This is the year to kind of jump on board, because next year, again, Sam Howell in this class, he's probably the sixth or seventh best guy on the board among quarterbacks.
All right, I want to ask you about name, image, and likeness, and I was talking about it as you were coming on, but the specifics of that, that's fine. And you may push back because this is kind of your conference, I guess. I'm going to ask you about the Big Ten just as an example. It is okay, Pete, to publicly say, yeah, we pimp ourselves for money. We just do. It's about the cash so that we can fund everything else. And I don't get the Big Ten saying that nearly enough. Why are they behind on name, image, likeness?
Because it doesn't really matter. Like, I know it sounds
it affects
like
recruiting. It's that matters.
Yeah, but what do you do with it? I mean, here's the thing. We talk about it because it's a big deal. I don't think fans really quite get it, and I definitely know the players don't get it. Here's the thing about name, image, and likeness. College players aren't going to get endorsement deals. People think, oh, well, they just get a deal with Nike. Well, maybe if you're Trevor Lawrence, yeah. Maybe if you're Spencer Rattler, sure. But there's a limit to what this name, image, and likeness can do, because they can't conflict with NCAA and school contracts. Like if you're an Adidas school, you can't all of a sudden go and be a Nike guy, which automatically kind of kills the whole idea of name, image, and likeness in the first place. So, okay, maybe your name, you'll get a little bit of spending money if your name is attached to a video game or something like that.
Well, you sign autographs at the used car lot, whatever.
Okay, exactly. I hate to use the word slippery slope, so I'm going to make it sound like I'm against it. I'm 100% for this. I think it's way past due. But to me, what's the difference between, like you said, if I can use my name, image, and likeness to go sell, sign my name at a card show or, like you said, open up a car dealership, why can't I just take $500 from a booster?
Oh, that's going to happen too. Absolutely, that's going to happen.
Why not? There's nothing wrong with it. What happens if some, guy just is like, look, I'm just going to pay you for being you.
I want you to stand in my driveway for an hour. Here's $5,000. Oh, by the way, I went to Auburn.
I don't even want you to do that. I want you to just say, here, I'm just going to give you money, and you just go be you quarterback. Because that's your name, that's your image, and your likeness. I'm just going to pay you for that. And the problem is college football and college athletics, that's been so demonized as, that's just bad. That's against everybody. It's fine. It's okay. It's happening anyway.
Yes.
So, why not just make it a thing already? And the other thing about this real quick is that it's actually a differentiating factor. Utah State's never, ever going to be a college football playoff caliber team. If you have some bored 85-year-old billionaire who's like, all right, bye, I want Utah State football to be awesome, I'm going to give these guys a lot of money, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And that should be part of that name, image, likeness, too. It's not going to be, but that's kind of how this is all supposed to work.
Supposed to. And, I'm excited for the opportunities again. Is that what you're describing? Why wouldn't it be boosters that's absolutely what it's going to be. It's just that it's in some way allowable if you fill out the paperwork in a certain way now. Pete, it's fantastic commentary always, brother. I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, man, have a good one.
All right, Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com. He's right. I mentioned the concept before of if you're at Georgia Tech or UNLV or UCLA, yeah, you got an advantage over, I don't know, I've never been to West Lafayette where Purdue is, but I'm assuming it's not quite as cosmopolitan as the University of Texas in Austin. So, there are advantages, but it's never going to be a level playing field across every measuring stick. It's not even supposed to. And when I say it's not supposed to, it's what I was saying. The Big Ten, they are choosing for this to not be as important. And for the college kid, for Trevor Lawrence, yeah, he can sign with Nike or Under Armour or whomever, and he would make his $500,000 maybe. But it is the $500 for signing autographs or taking pictures or showing up at a birthday party and just being there and, hey, I'm a wide receiver for Mississippi State. That's the kind of thing that can be kind of fun and also be kind of lucrative, especially that's just $500 is what you were saying. if you're a college kid, you understand how lucrative $500 can be, and that's kind of what they're making available to the kids now.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Want to head down to Tampa, a tremendous sports talk station down yonder, WDAE, and one of our good friends there, Zach Blobner. Zach, welcome, brother. How are you on this Monday?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. How are y'all doing?
Pretty blessed today. Let's talk about a 48-hour glitch in the state of Florida with name, image, likeness. We talked why the one state legislator said, you know, hey, let's pause this. Got worked out, so Friday everything's back on board. It seemed like the state's coaches, boy, they jumped in immediately. And when Norvell, Mullen, Manny, et cetera, all got involved, that was kind of, you know, the name on the stationery to get everybody's attention. Just talk about kind of what went on for those couple of days.
Well, and that's the way it goes, right? Like, could you imagine if only one of the big three coaches got on board behind this bill? What a recruiting bump it would give them, right? Because this is basically saying we support our players and we want to make sure they're taken care of. And you don't want to be one of the coaches on the other side of it, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're talking about Mullen, Norvell, or Manny down in Miami. I mean, whichever one started it or signed on second or signed on third is irrelevant. They just want to make sure all three names are on that bill, on the legislation, and say, yep, we're together and we're all here for the players. Because you don't want to be viewed as a coach that is, quote unquote, only looking out for yourself, self or the system. So I'm not shocked by it. You know, I think too, if you look back, like even months ago, Florida was one of the states when it came to college football and the players and trying to get things moving progressively that we assumed was going to be on track to kind of be ahead of most of the other states, kind of getting the ball rolling. So I think things aren't necessarily shocking. I think we're where we expected to be, honestly.
I don't know how, you know, you can get a deal at fourth overall, but Kyle Pitts going with the fourth pick of the first round, I think that the Atlanta Falcons may have gotten a little bit of a deal. If you can get the either the best or second best player, a generational player is what he kind of looks like. Talk about the ramp up if you think there is one. I think Kyle Pitts, I mean, week one, I think he's an NFL stud. He's off and flying. You know more about him and his game. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Kyle Pitts, especially in the NFL. I think just that size and that body, I mean, you talk about a ramp-up. What is it? I think the ramp-up's for the defense. It's they have to try to slow down a guy of his stature. And, you know, I know him and Matt Ryan have already had lunch, I believe I heard, over in Atlanta. So I think he's going to hit the ground running. And it's weird in the draft because we know such an emphasis is put on the quarterback position. But I think when you look at just overall lack of risk in terms of drafting a specific player in a specific spot, there is no doubt that Kyle Pitts steps into the NFL as a top 5, 6, 7 tight end in the league, in my opinion.
If we look at Kyle Trask, he gets to stay local there. He's at least heading over to Tampa. What's the thought about him? Because I love Kyle Trask even more so in some ways than some of the first round picks, just because what he does is so much more of what the NFL asks a quarterback to do. But he is the last pick of the second round.
Yeah, he's very cerebral, right? He protects the football with the exception of that bowl game at the end of the Gators season. And I think he's exactly what the coaching staff in Tampa Bay looks for in terms of quarterbacks. Pretty good situation to land in. Super Bowl champs, Tom Brady at the helm. Bruce Bruce Arians, the quote-unquote quarterback whisperer, Trask could not have landed in a better spot. In terms of, you know, some other value in quarterbacks you look at, I agree. You know, for me personally, I thought he was comparable to a guy in Mac Jones out of Alabama. I think there's even an argument that he was better than Mac Jones last season in the SEC and in football in general in college. So I think if you're a Bucs fan and you see this kid come across the wire at the end of the second round, and then you look at Kellen Mond and the other quarterbacks that went just after him, he's really a steal, and the Bucs are happy. For the most part, the fans are too. You have a few fans here, Florida State fans, that aren't exactly thrilled to see Trask in a Bucs uniform.
Let's stay a little deeper into the draft now, day three. Marco Wilson, and he was the end of the fourth round as well, the last or second to last pick of the fourth round. He's more than an injury. He's more than throwing a cleat. There were times when he played really good football in Gainesville, and I don't know that everybody remembers that.
I don't know how they ever will. I mean, the cleat thing came up even when he was drafted. I was looking on Twitter. Yep. I was looking at my buddy's group text. Like, that was all anybody wanted to talk about. But, look, he does bring a lot of good qualities and skill sets to the table. Arizona's definitely going to get him some rub over there. You know, they've lost some guys in their secondary. But they're pretty young still, and they're looking to improve. And I think he's going to find a niche in there for some playing time, you know, in this first season, in his rookie year. And look, he's not a finished product either, right? Like, this is a guy we had high expectations for, and he fell a little short of those, no doubt. You can't argue that. But I don't think that that means he can't still achieve the levels of skill that we thought he could, you know, 2 or 3 years ago when we saw him as a freshman. So I think he's still got a future, or at least a shot at being a good NFL player. But, yeah, in terms of Gainesville, he'll always be the guy that threw the cleat.
That is too bad. Let's stay in the secondary. Shawn Davis gets picked. Donovan Steiner doesn't. Like I said, you know, everybody, even sort of the casual fan of another team that just played Florida, is like, no, wait a minute. I know that guy. He played a lot. I saw him every year we played him. There was a lot more name recognition and I want to say, like, maybe pre-advertising than it wounds up when you look at the completed resume. There were a couple of these guys that really fell short of what the expectations were, especially after they kind of flashed early.
Yeah, and I feel like we've been talking about this, just you and I personally, for at least a couple of seasons now, how DBU was still on the table for the Florida Gators, how they had all these young guys in the secondary that were just going to be, you know, it's the next class of Gators studs at that position. And none of them really reached their potential in terms of the guys that came before them, from Tabor to VH3. In terms of being drafted Keon O'Neill at the safety position. It's just, it's very odd that they weren't able to achieve some of those similar levels. And the team actually went further, you could argue, than some of those other squads prior, making it to an SEC title game, having an elite offense. If anything, it should have been easier for these guys to excel in the secondary and become studs. So very surprising. But I think, you know, you mentioned Steiner. He ends up as an undrafted free agent at Pittsburgh. He's going to have a chance to make that roster. They need some help back there. And then, you know, in terms of Shawn Davis in Indianapolis, that's already a good defense. I think he's going to fit right in there too.
And I mentioned Grimes earlier, signed with the Eagles, I believe it was. Talk about his transition to the pros.
He was a guy that I think deserved to be drafted, honestly. Sixth, seventh round. I'm surprised that he wasn't. But he's going to a Philly wide receiver room that isn't exactly stacked. I mean, look, I know they've got some young talent. They obviously traded up to take Devonta Smith. They got Rigor from last year that they drafted. But he's going to get some opportunities, not just in special teams, but really in the passing game with Jalen Hurts. They got a lot of SEC talent on their offense, now that you think about it. But I love Grimes. I think he's, you know, similar to what we saw with Van Jefferson last year, right? Obviously, the draft position, one got drafted, one didn't. But I think that similar to watching Van Jefferson get an opportunity with the Rams and get some chances to kind of show up as the 3 or 4 receiver on that team, I think we could end up seeing Grimes kind of get some similar opportunities.
All right, last thing I want to ask you about, who's still in Gainesville, Emory Jones. He's played in 24 games over the last 3 years. That's a lot of time on the field, especially when your head coach is Dan Mullen. Tell me what you think you know was the best thing about Emory Jones right now after 3 years in the program, what you think, like, he still has a lot of blue sky that he's got to realize.
So here's the thing. Emory Jones fits Dan Mullen's offense better than Kyle Trask did. better than Felipe Franks did. And we've known this since Emery transferred to Florida. That was the whole reason, you know, Mullen went out and got him. He was like, this will be the first prototype in the ilk of quarterbacks that I like to see molded in coming up, prototypically speaking. And you think about, obviously, the track record of what Mullen's done in the past, and even just specifically to Mississippi State. You don't even have to go all the way back to the OC position at Florida before that. But Dak Prescott, you know, he brought him along. And there's some other quarterbacks in the mix there that he was able to kind of mold the way that he wanted that fit his system. And I think Emory Jones does. And it sucks because it's hard to have high expectations going from Trask to another player. But in theory, based on, you know, again, prototypes, Emory should in theory have more success somehow than Trask did in that offense. Now, obviously, weapons is a big part of that. No Kyle Pitts, no Kadarius yep. Toney. It's going to be a little harder. But it's, in terms of the offense that Mullen runs, you, as Gator fans, should have nothing but faith in Emory next season. There should not be a drop-off at that position. There really shouldn't be.
WDAE down yonder in Tampa. It is Zach Blobner. Zach, appreciate your time as always, brother. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate you. Cheers.
All right, Zach Blobner again. Tremendous source for Gators information. And if you're ever traveling in Tampa, I mean, he knows the best restaurants. There's no doubt about it. He's given us a couple down there. My wife and I travel. So always appreciate Zach. The question about Emory Jones there, it's just I didn't realize quite how much experience he has with Dan Mullen. And so I started this weekend as one of the different stories. And like I said, after the draft's done and all that yesterday, started looking at Emory as one of the really the three or four different quarterback situations. I'm not calling them battles because I don't think there's a battle in Gainesville. Three or four different situations around college football, two of them in the SEC. And I was like, I need to know more about what I'm dealing with because I don't know if you're a freshman or a redshirt and you played, you know, just a couple of snaps last year, that's better than nothing. But for Emory Jones, I was like, he's played more than that. I didn't realize how much he's been on the field. And I know that I had commented kind of in the moment 2 years ago, I guess it was the 19 season. Actually, it was the 19 season that there was a moment in the Auburn game. Florida is hosting them middle of the season. I don't know, week six or seven sometime. And it was the play where Marlon Davidson falls on Kyle Trask. Trask has to leave. And that was just a couple of weeks maybe after the Kentucky game. I'm thinking, you may be down to your third quarterback. That's not good. Because Franks had already been hurt against Kentucky, and then Trask leaves against Auburn, and so out comes Emory Jones. As I'm thinking, you may be down to your third quarterback, and salty defense, this is not good. I was like, no, wait a minute, I've seen this before. Emory just runs the offense, and I thought that it was a great move from Dan Mullen, because it's the point that I brought up what Zach just mentioned. Emory is far more of the quarterback that Dan Mullen has always wanted. But when Kyle Trask was the quarterback, that was the offense. Emory's the quarterback he wants. With Kyle as the starter, well, this is the offense we're going to run. And he just kind of called the plays, kind of still ran the offense. And it was a heck of a commentary, again, for a kid who just a month earlier had been your third teamer, who you're looking at thinking, how much do we want to play this kid? And I caught myself after having seen him play. Yeah, you're good. You're off and running. He can do everything Dan Mullen wants him to do, even the plays that are for Kyle Trask. So, yeah, like I said, interesting comment there from Zach because it's a point that I've made that this is not a transition year. This is Dan Mullen getting back to a lot more of what he wants to get done. Kyle Trask, that was an adjustment for Mullen that season. Yards and touchdowns and getting drafted and will he win the Heisman and – it was either, I don't know, six or seven or eight or however many Saturdays in a row, however many games in a row with three touchdowns or more. That was the adjustment from Dan Mullen. So I'm excited to see with Emory Jones. And like I said, he's played a whole lot more than I had realized. Go back and watch it. It's the miracle of YouTube. You can go back and watch whatever you want. And so it should be a little bit bigger of a deal because he's been on the field a lot. And like I said, the mystery coming out of spring where everybody's not a little more hopped up on him surprises me as well. But come August, it is one of the three or four around America, the quarterback competition, situations, whatever it is that I'm going to keep an eye on. All right, so appreciate Zach coming on. We break. We wrap up next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I believe that if you are going to make the comparison, the closest I could do is Marvin Harrison, a guy who played at 175 pounds, who outran defenses, and how intricate he was with his routes got him open. I mean, he had speed, but he was a total professional route runner. I look at Devontae being the exact same type of ball player.
Carlos Medina, front office Los, on the Chuck Oliver Show in hour one today, talking a recap of the NFL draft. I'd asked him about Devonta Smith, and he's like, Marvin Harrison is a real good comp. Remember, Marvin Harrison was still playing as the rules were changing, that the Steve Atwaters of the league, who's a tremendous player, like Rodney Harrison's in the league, their games were having to change. So it's just a different game now. And Devonta Smith, I'm just really excited to see him play. He's so much fun to watch. Chuck Oliver Show wrapping up on a Monday. Appreciate David's job today. Dan Matthews, he'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. But right now, we'll wrap it up with the closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
There's one reason above all others why bad NFL franchises, that's a proper noun, capital B, capital NFL, capital F, bad NFL franchises continue to be bad NFL franchises. The Cincinnati Bengals are doing to Joe Burrow the exact same as Detroit with Stafford, dozens of others have done. They just don't learn. Let's give the young quarterback lots and lots of receivers. Well, how about you protect him? Thursday night in the draft, Joe Burrow, who, remember last year? Boy, he was slinging it. And then about, what, 2 months into the season, they're playing the Washington Redskins, and he gets hit because he wasn't protected well. It was also like a third and two, and they're in a shotgun. Whatever. But they didn't protect him, and he gets hit, and he misses the rest of the season. You just spent a first overall pick on a quarterback. He's out for part of his rookie year with a knee injury. You have the fifth overall pick, and you take a receiver. You take a receiver with the number one offensive lineman in the draft, who also is a left tackle, sitting right there. Goes two picks later to Detroit. And again, you passed on him for a tremendous receiver who's a college teammate and the built-in marketing, and it's all fantastic. And by the way, Ja'Marr Chase could have gone to Key West University, and it would have been a great pick. All right, that kid is I really, really like his prospects for the next level. You could have gotten at least an approximation of Ja'Marr Chase around later. There was no more Penei Sewell. So bad franchises, and again, we call them teams or franchises or organizations or whatever. These are companies. In fact, do you know what the worst run, least valuable company that is in the NFL, their value is? About $2 billion. So you've got a $2 billion corporation that keeps making the same mistakes it has before, and all the other bad corporations in the NFL as well. Got a great young quarterback. Job one is to protect him. I promise you, he can throw a receiver open. You don't have to spend the fifth overall pick on his college buddy. That is my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. What up, Dan?
I didn't particularly see any of them, but I am to understand that some of these jokes were made on social media over the weekend at the behest of Jamie Newman after he went undrafted. And my message to Georgia
I want to make sure I understand what you're saying, that they're after Jamie Newman getting you drafted,
right,
and there are probably Georgia fans
that are taking pop shots at, I guess you shouldn't have sat out. I did not see any of them, but
okay,
I saw members of the media saying that's about as lowbrow as you can get. And I have to agree, before I get into my overarching point with this, I have to agree, if you're that type of fan, you're not a fan at all. You're a pretty ugly person, because it should not be something held against a guy who is in his early 20s in life that has made a life decision where, I get it, probably at the time everything looked like it was the right decision for him to make. Of, is there a chance that I could lose my job to JT Daniels? Yes. Is there a chance that I could come out here and be incredibly disappointing and hurt my draft stock even more than I believe it is right now? Sure, that is the case. All of those things have to be thought about in such a short amount of time. He did. It turned out to not be the right decision because he went to Mobile and did not perform very well, and it hurt him even more than that.
Yeah.
But that's just, again, if you are that fan out there, you are not a fan. You're just an ugly person. So we'll leave it there. I've talked about before of understanding who you are and understanding what your value is, because I'm really talking more, again, with the opt-outs in college football, because, Chuck, that trend is going to continue. And I think now that it needs to be as well for the player, that you need to understand what you are doing when you say, hey, I'm done doing this, I'm opting out, I'm going to the next level, and I'm preparing myself. Because I think that the lesser extreme example of it is the guy who accepts Gil Brandt's invite to go and be in the green room for the draft. Because I will say this, I think that my response would be, well, what does the scouting board say about me? Well, they say you're a sure thing first round pick. How sure of a thing am I? Top 15? Okay, then I'm there. I will be in there, because there is nothing worse than the embarrassment of being in there on draft night and then maybe even having to stick around for day two and wait for your name to be called. I mean, I can't remember who it was from LSU a few years ago that was in round three, was finally when they had their name called. And that's something that, you know, obviously you can't account for the way that the draft goes and where you start to fall. But in the case of opting out, we are going to see still a guy or two before the season say, yeah, you know, this just isn't worth it for me. I'm not going to go. But I think we're going to see it more midway through the seasons, of when the seasons are not going the way that they're going, they're going to say, yep, that's it for me at this level. It's time for me to prepare for the professional life of this game. And the weird thing about it, Chuck, is you're going to have the coaches who are going to stick up for them saying, yeah, you know what? I told them to go ahead and move on. I told them there's nothing more for him here. And instead of waiting around, playing out the string here in November and then going into the bowl game and then playing said bowl game, it's really better for me to go ahead and prepare for what is ahead, and for them to go ahead and get a leg up on what is ahead for them as well. The opt-outs, as we saw over the weekend, it hurts some guys, because I think some guys honestly took some bad advice of, oh yeah, hey, you're good enough, you're ready to opt out, whereas maybe the right guy should have been the one in their ear saying, you know, you need to play and you need to put more tape out there.
I am not old, I don't believe. I don't have gray hair. I don't use a cane. I do have a lawn, but I won't yell at you to get off of it. We've normalized quitting. That's what this is becoming. We've normalized quitting. In fact, we gave it a cool name, opting out. Now, this coming season, I think it'll be a little different. There will be kids that take the Marcus Lattimore, Jadeveon Clowney thing we talked about years ago. I'm just not going to play this year. I'm going to improve my draft status. If you do that in June, July, August, that's you have opted out. You stop playing. You do that after 5 weeks when you think that you've got enough game film, you've quit. Now, what value you want to put on that, what judgment, that's up to you. But, yeah, we've normalized quitting. We absolutely have. All right, wraps it up on a Monday. Be back in 22 hours with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.